you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to the crowd, "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. There is nothing hidden that will not become visible, nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then on how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away." The Gospel of the Lord. I could feel the excitement as soon as Sister mentioned the reading was from Ezra, because we find Ezra only 3 times in 2 years. So much to pay attention to. We begin 3 weeks today, which are going to hear 8 different post-exilic prophets. 3 days of Ezra, 2 of Haggai, 2 of Zechariah, 3 of Nehemiah. Then we'll get Jonah and Baruch, Malachi, and we'll finish with Joel before we start a 4-week study of St. Paul's awesome letter to the Romans. What are we going to hear in these next 3 weeks? We're going to hear first about the importance of rebuilding the temple, like we have today with Ezra. We'll also have it very strongly with Nehemiah next week. To rebuild the temple, because it had been destroyed through Jewish sinfulness and it led to the exile. Would be a sign of God's presence, but we know it would be a sign of something far greater. Jesus' incarnation, when he would be tabernacled among us. Jesus' destruction and rebuilding on the 3rd day. And then the way he wants to incorporate each of us into that temple as we build ourselves in him who is the cornerstone. So we need to listen to these words with that rebuilding project in mind. Then the second thing we'll see in all these post-exilic prophets is they clearly understood why the exile had happened and why the temple had been destroyed. Because they were unfaithful. And God had given them the medicine to help them precisely to heal and be faithful anew. So each of these 8 is going to teach us the way to be faithful, to way to be true to the Lord as he generously pours himself out for us. Today in the Gospel, Jesus, in a sense, gives us very simply the architectural plans for this constant rebuilding project. Starts with how we listen. Pope Benedict, in his beautiful exhortation on the Word of God and the life and mission of the Church, said that all sin can be summarized by the refusal to hear God's Word and to live it. And the essence of faithfulness is Our Lady's retort to Gabriel, "Let it happen to me according to your Word." So Jesus tells us today, take care then how you hear. Hearing the word of the Lord as a word to be done is the single most important thing we need to do in life. How well do we hear? Do we receive it with gratitude? Do we receive it with hunger? And he uses 3 analogies today that help us to build our life on the rock of that word. "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed," he says. "Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light." What the Lord whispers to us is not meant to remain secret. It's supposed to transform us in such a way that it illumines the world. the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus will say, or actually at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, may they see your good works so that they might glorify your Father in heaven. That is the way we become the light of the world. So every word that Jesus gives us is some oil, we could say, to keep the flame of faith burning truly brightly. Second, there's nothing hidden that will not become visible, nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. He knows whether we're paying attention. We might be able to fake it. A lot of the times we can just keep our eyes fixed and nod at the right times and do everything my sycophantic twin brother Scott used to do in the classroom to become teacher's pets. And they all thought he was paying attention, and then he'd come and say, "What did the teacher say, Raj?" Are we really hanging on the words that come from the Lord? And if we are, then that will be known by all the saints of the general resurrection. Jesus wants us to be sincere in the way that we approach the building project he's ever accomplishing. And third, to anyone who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away. This is a basic law of education. It's a basic law of exercise. It's a basic law of music. So many other things. Use it or lose it. Invest the gifts that God's given, or they will atrophy. And so, what we find out is, the more we hunger and get to know the Word of God, the more everything else starts to make sense. Other parts of sacred scripture make sense. Other parts of life make sense. Some of the greatest mysteries have a key given. But if we're just kind of going through the motions, for example, reciting the words of the breviary, without really letting those words from our lips impact our mind and heart, even what we seem to have may dissipate. See, that's supposed to be totally life-changing, or it can be harmful, ultimately, if our approach is to just let it slip off the lips or through the other ear. God wants to make us truly strong by all the nourishment of His Word. But we really have to exercise that word, apply it to ourselves, put it into practice. And the more we do, the far greater our receptivity, which is why Our Lady is always the greatest model. Her desire to base herself on the words God gave her through Gabriel led to that word's truly becoming flesh within her and led to an adhesion that continues now into eternity. Today the Church celebrates a great saint of modern times who was a person who heeded with great attention whatever the Lord said to him. He was one who built his life on the Lord and was an instrument for that rebuilding project of millions. St. Pio of Pietrelcina entered into eternal life 51 years ago today, when St. Paul VI went to pray at his remains. He said something that I've always found absolutely extraordinary and inspiring. He didn't praise St. Pio for his inimitable gifts, the stigmata which he had for 50 years, which couldn't be kept hidden, but were essentially put on the lampstand of modern television for all the globe to see. His gift of bilocation, his gift of reading soul, his gift of prophecy for the future. Paul VI didn't praise Pio for any of these gifts. He prayed him for saying each day a beautiful Mass, for hearing confessions from dawn to dusk, and from being a man of prayer and suffering. Four things that we can all imitate, four things that we should all imitate. and four particular means, not only by which we hear God's word, but through which God builds us on himself. First, the Mass. Padre Pio's whole life was the Mass. From the earliest days, Christians have said, Ecclesia de Eucharistia, that the Church lives on the Eucharist, that the Eucharist builds or makes the Church. This temple rebuilding is done by the carpenter from the inside when we receive Him in Holy Communion. This was the center of Padre Pio's life, something for which he suffered so much. Padre Pio celebrated 3-hour daily masses from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. Thank you, Sister Jean, for laughing for that. Wouldn't you love that? 3-hour daily masses, Padre Pio, every day. The crowds did. It was always standing room only. But the ecclesiastical authorities hated us. It was a bad example. So they, for a time, stopped his capacity to celebrate public masses. The same people would have gone to Calvary and said to Jesus, "Can you get it over with faster, please?" As his Calvary suffering took 3 hours. How sometimes we try to manage what's most sacred, and in doing so, we stifle the building that the Lord is trying to accomplish. Padre Pio didn't just say the words. He truly entered into the experience of the Mass. And it was through the way that he prayed the Mass that so many others learned how to ascend with him to Calvary. Second great activity, he heard confessions from dawn to dusk, which he was fixing up the temple that was constructed on the day of baptism, restoring those souls to the beauty that they had that great day. His confessions weren't short. They didn't last forever, but at the same time, he showed the truth that when we go to confession, the entire sacramental economy, all God's incredible love, his laser beamed only on that particular soul. He was never going to rush it on account of the long lines, because he knew each of those encounters was an encounter with God. He helped so many turn their lives right side up, and rather than build their life on the quicksand of worldly gurus and philosophy, to build it on the only solid foundation possible. Third, he prayed. Padre Pio would define himself as a simple, poor friar who prays. That was his self-description. He thought everything came from his prayerful relationship with the Lord. When he would finish hearing confessions 12, 13 hours a day, suffering, obviously, because of the stigmata, he would spend most of the night praying, because he recognized what an extraordinary priority even the possibility of prayer should be in anybody's life. And he didn't keep that gift to himself. He tried to found prayer groups, and he did, over 10,000 in his lifetime all over the world, so that they could come together and pray together. Because it's through our prayer that we really build our lives on God rather than on self-reliance with a little bit of God sprinkled in. And fourth was suffering. We had the letter of the Colossians a couple weeks ago in which we pondered together our vocation to make up in ourselves what is lacking in Christ's sufferings for the sake of the Church. We build up the Church precisely through suffering. Padre Pio did, not just through his stigmata, not just through his suffering because of the way that he celebrated Mass, but also because of terrible suspicions that he was diabolically possessed, persecution of some curial officials. All those who suspected him and suspended him simply because he was following the Lord. But all of that suffering became part of the wood, we could say, and the steel that would make him sturdy on Christ, the cornerstone. Padre Pio tried to teach the whole church how to pray. He founded a hospital, one of the best hospitals in Europe, the Casa del Sollievo di Sofferenza, there in San Giovanni Rotondo, where he ministered at the end and where he's buried. Precisely to help people suffer in such a way that they would suffer together with Christ on Calvary. He ministered to them himself personally. He had the doctors and the chaplains learn how to teach people to suffer aright, so that at the same time their frail humanity was being broken down, they would be getting stronger spiritually. And it was through the work of the Casa del Sollievo that many were prepared for the eternal temple, to which the rebuilding of the Temple of Jerusalem points. God constantly seeks to build us up, constantly seeks to build the church up, through how we pray the Mass, through how we receive the gift of confession, through how we pray, especially with every word that comes from his mouth, and the way we suffer, the contradictions of each day, the injuries, even the emotional and spiritual pains he permits us to endure. As we come here to the altar, giving thanks to the Lord for all the marvels he continues to do, we ask him to help us truly to shine, to share with others what he himself has whispered to us and does within us. As we take care of what we hear and obediently do this in his memory.